If you're a true believer, and I don't know, God knows the heart, He changes our hearts so that we desire His things. And if you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will desire those things until sin gets in the way. What are your priorities?
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today is letter day, and I have a full comment from Alexander in New Jersey. He says, I was following your program, and that message just hit me really hard. The Lord is good. I love you guys. God bless you. Well, Alexander, yes, the Lord is good, and I'm so thankful that He used His word to work in your heart, and thank you so much for letting us know about it. And we praise the Lord, and may He bless you richly.
And Greg, today we're beginning a new study in the book of Haggai, and I wonder if people even know where that book is in the Bible.
Well, Dave, I think there's some who might not be able to find it, but although Haggai is somewhat of an obscure book, it is still the Word of God, and we know that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. And so, that in mind, after some context concerning the nation of Israel and how they got to this point, we're going to begin our study in the book of Haggai. So turn with us as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
What do you prioritize in this life? What do you prioritize each day? When you think of your priorities, what are they? Well, if you're a believer, on a daily basis, our priority should be our relationship with the Lord. That should be our priority, just absolutely that as on the top. Now, as we know, Christ should be our priority, but our priorities can subtly change because we have things to do. The Lord gives us tasks to do, whether it's working, whether it's taking care of family, going to school, whatever it might be, serving Him. We have things that we are to do within those priorities. Yet sometimes our priorities can slightly shift even to good things off of the Lord Jesus Himself, off of desiring each day to walk with Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. If you're a true believer, and I don't know, God knows the heart, He changes our hearts so that we desire His things. And if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will desire those things until sin gets in the way. What are your priorities? Today we're going to be beginning a study of the book of Haggai as we move towards our study in James. And so be reading through this short book. It's 5 short messages. With that in mind, we need to understand the context. So would you turn your Bibles to the book of Haggai? And you may need to go in your little thing in the front to get the spot, the table of contents. And while you're turning there, I want to give some context for the book of Haggai. Now, it's really important that we understand how Israel gets to this point in the book of Haggai before we get into this book. So I'm going to give a slight review of the history of the nation of Israel coming up into this point, and hopefully that will be helpful. You'll notice also on the back of your outlines there is a diagram which gives some information. It's not, you know, inspired or anything, but it might be helpful for you. Well, Scripture reveals that in Genesis that God created Adam and Eve. Now you know where I'm starting, right? We're starting from the beginning. That He created them in His own image and they were blessed. Yet Adam sinned, disobeying God, listening to the voice of his deceived wife. And from that point, sin entered into the human race, and man lost his blessing with God and now lives in the midst of sin and a cursed world. But God always had a plan to redeem and restore man, and it would be through Eve's seed, ultimately Jesus Christ, that Satan and sin would be crushed forever. In Genesis, we see that plan beginning to take shape as God calls Abraham and makes an everlasting covenant with him, revealing the gospel that through his seed or descendant, all the nations would be blessed. And it's at this point in Genesis, as we follow his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, renamed Israel, that we see the nation is born in the sons of Jacob. God sovereignly fulfills his word to Abraham, bringing Jacob and his sons and Joseph's brothers to Egypt. It's there they would multiply and be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now, at this point, I'd like to share a brief timeline from that point to bring us up to the book of Haggai. In 1445 BC, or after about 400 years of oppression in Egypt, we had the exodus of the children of Israel, the exodus from Egypt. And then at Sinai, God made a conditional covenant with them, giving them the law. And then they were in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. Unbelief. Remember Kadesh Barnea. They didn't believe. Then in 1405 BC on the plains of Moab, Moses restates the law in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos, second law, just restating it. And in chapters 28 to 30, God tells the Israelites, there are blessings if you obey, cursings if you disobey. And he shares the consequences if they would disobey, what would happen. Now within that, we see that Israel did disobey, and the rallying cry of the pre-exilic prophets, those before the exile, was repent or you will be judged. Then after Moses died, Joshua was commissioned by the Lord and led the 45-year conquest of the land. It's here we see Israel did not fully obey the Lord in driving out the inhabitants completely. Judges reveals that that sin led to an ever-spiraling downward trend in which everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Then we see around 1095 BC in 1 Samuel 8 reveals that Israel's sin continues as Israel demands a king and rejects the Lord as their king. And God gave them over to their desire and gave them Saul, who was head and shoulders above the rest. This begins the kingdom period of 490 years, a period in which David would follow Saul as king. And God would make an everlasting covenant with David. 2 Samuel 7, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever. Now David's son Solomon became king and built a splendid house for the Lord, the temple. Yet Solomon sinned and went after many women, then followed their gods, 1 Kings 11. And because of his sin, the kingdom was divided in 931 BC, north and south, Israel and Judah. 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, 1 Kings 11. 2 kingdoms. Now, even though the prophets had continued to warn of impending doom because of sin in 722 BC, in accordance with God's discipline, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, 2 Kings chapter 17. And although the kingdom of Judah remained, they also continued in sin from king to king. And then in 622 BC, King Josiah, after finding the word of God, we have some short-lived reforms. And then in 609 BC, Josiah is killed, foolishly trying to stop Pharaoh Necho. You can look at 2 Kings 23:29 and 2 Chronicles 35:20-24. But in 605 BC, Pharaoh Necho was defeated at Carchemish by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, solidifying the absolute power of the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 2. And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar, ultimately, by the sovereign hand of God, turns to address his Jewish problem. And in 605 BC, he lays siege of Jerusalem. And he takes the first set of captives to Babylon, 2 Kings chapter 24, 1-7, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1-4. And among those captives in that first siege was Daniel and his three friends. And Ezekiel at that point was still in Jerusalem. Then in 597 BC, Jerusalem is sieged again. 2 Kings 24 records that 10,000 Jews were taken captive. This is the deportation in which Ezekiel was taken. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2. Now in 588 to 586, for 18 months, we have the third siege of Jerusalem, a gruesome ordeal. 2 Kings chapter 25, 1 and 2, and Ezekiel 24, 2. And then in 586, at the end of this siege, we see that Jerusalem is destroyed and the temple and the city walls are destroyed. And we have the final exile here of the Israelites to Babylon, Ezekiel 33:21 and 2 Kings 25. There were three deportations to Babylon, 605 where Daniel left, 597 Ezekiel, and 586 where Jerusalem and the walls and the temple are destroyed. Now, during the captivity of the Israelites in Babylon, You can read about that in Daniel, by the way. The Persians ultimately defeated the Babylonians in 539. It's at this point the Persian king Cyrus took over and changed his foreign policy in regards to captive peoples. In 538, as the Lord led him, as we see, he decreed that the Jews could return to their homeland and rebuild the temple. Keep your finger in Haggai and turn to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Right before Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. It's amazing to see the sovereign hand of the Lord to bring about His will. Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, this is verse 2, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, notice what he says, Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And every survivor, and whatever place may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then it says, then the heads of the fathers of the household of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites arose, and everyone whose spirit God had stirred up to go and rebuild the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. It's important to see that the exiles that go, and we'll read about them later, God stirred up their spirits. They left a very comfortable life in Babylon. That's what they knew of. They had been there for 70 years, many of them born in Babylon, and they had left. There were some old-timers, as we'll see later on in Haggai, but many of them came at that point. A comfortable life, but God stirred up their spirit to do His work, and they obeyed and left what was comfortable to go back. And notice, go to Ezra chapter 3 for a second. We're going to see 50,000 exiled devout Jews chose to leave to go to Jerusalem where they could worship the Lord and rebuild the temple. And within a little over a year, they had laid the foundation of the temple. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Now in the second year of the coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Yeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the rest of their brothers, the priests and the Levites, and all who came from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work and appointed the Levites from 20 years and older to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with the sons and his brothers stood united with Kadmiel and his sons, the work in the temple of God. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. That's the reason they had left Babylon. They had been stirred up by the Lord, and they had done His work. They had begun to build, and they were praising God for that. Yet if you read on in the book of Ezra, it reveals after they laid the foundation, they stopped building when they received threats from the local Samaritans and an injunction from the Persian Empire to stop the building. Now, in face of these threats, they seem to be insurmountable. It's somewhat understandable they stopped temporarily. But Scripture reveals that that temporal stoppage didn't stay temporal. It continued for 16 years, where these exiles didn't get back to the work at all. And that brings us to where the book of Haggai is, where we come into our study of this book. Now, again, we need to understand the purpose of the book of Haggai. And on a surface level, it was to get the people to rebuild the temple, to get the people to construct it. But beyond that, we're going to see it has to do with addressing hearts of those who actually want to follow Jesus, those who want to follow the Lord, but can get distracted and have priorities that are misplaced. This book isn't initially speaking to those who have no desire to follow Jesus. These are people who left their comfortable life to serve the Lord, and they went through trials and hardships, and there was a delay, and they got sidetracked. So with that in mind, I believe today we're going to see the first portion of four sermons that Haggai preaches. So let's take a look, and we're going to read from our passage from verses 1 to 11. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains and on the grain and on the new wine and on the oil and on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Interesting portion. Immediately we see in this book the immediate context that God through Haggai reveals there's a specific timing of this. Notice verse 1, and by the way, Haggai is one of the most precisely dated books in the entire Bible. There are four sermons given with exact dates, and there's even a breakup within those. So look at verse 1 again. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai. Now history records, and we understand and know that Darius, king of Persia, began his reign in 522 B.C., and therefore, it's important to realize that because these sermons are dated in relationship to that, they all took place in 520 B.C. That's when this happened. And indeed, the first sermon today we're looking at took place, there's a conversion, but from our calendar, August 29th, 520 B.C. So we know when the sermon was preached. So with that in mind, how are we to identify misplaced priorities? How are we who want to follow Jesus? We're not living phony lives. We want to follow Jesus. We've given up our lives to follow Him. We have decided to follow Jesus. How about those who want to follow Him? How can we identify misplaced priorities? Because they do get misplaced. We do have our priorities shifted at times. We can be subtly dulled into thinking some things are more important than others, and Jesus is subtly brought down in our lives. Well, the first thing we're going to see today is that we must first and primary listen to God's analysis of our lives. Because if we analyze our own lives, we're going to be in trouble because we think we're good. We probably think what we're doing is just fine. But it is God's word that confronts our hearts and shows us the truth. So we need to listen to his analysis. Again, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate?" We see the word of the Lord, verse 1, came by the prophet Haggai. This is God's word. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And prophets in the Old Testament were God's spokesmen. They spoke his word. He inspired them. It was not any of their own thinking. They were brought forth by the Spirit of God to bring forth the Word of God. So we need to remember, this is His Word. And we know from Hebrews chapter 1 that God spoke in many ways, in many fashions, in many times through the prophets, to the fathers. But now He has spoken through His Son. We have the completed revelation in the Bible. So notice he says, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. And then notice who it is to. To Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Now, why is it coming to them? Why does he identify it comes to them? Later on, we're going to see it comes to all the people. But first, it comes to them. What's the importance of these two men here? Well, it's important to note that Zerubbabel was in the line of David. You can see that in Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogies, in Luke chapter 3. And in the line of Christ, by the way. And why is that important? Because Zerubbabel was in the royal line. If there was a king at this time in Israel, Zerubbabel would have been the king. But he was a governor under the Persians, you see? But he would have been the king. So he is the governor of Judah. And then secondly, we have Joshua, the son of Jehoshaphat. That's not Joshua, the son of Nun from the conquest of the land. It's a different Joshua. But he is Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. He is the one, the high priest, who offers that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. He is the high priest. He is the high priest. So these are the leaders of Israel, the man who would be king and the high priest. God's word is coming to the leaders. And notice later on in verse 12 it says, and all the remnant of the people. They're going to get it too. They're going to get the word also. So then, what does the Lord say? What does he say? Verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Thus says the Lord of hosts. If you study scripture, you'll see the term Lord of hosts is used very often in the post-exilic prophets. What do I mean? Those prophets who spoke after the exile, like we are seeing here with Haggai. And one of the reasons people believe that's the case is because they were a very small amount of Jews.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, it's easy to see misplaced priorities in others, but we often struggle to see that same thing in ourselves. So how can we begin to really hear God's analysis of our circumstances?
You know, Dave, it's really true that it's often easier to see other people's misplaced priorities or issues than it is to see in our own lives. But God is a gracious God, and His desire is for us to see ourselves rightly. And the only way that we can do that is to hear His analysis of our situation. And how is it we do that? First of all, we need to be in the Word of God, and we need to be willing to allow God's Word to expose our hearts and to let His Spirit, through His Word, convict us and correct us when we get off track. And then when God exposes those areas of sin and misplaced priorities, we need to be willing to confess and submit to Him and do what He asks us to do in His Word. That's the first key element, which is just hearing God's analysis of our circumstances. Secondly, we need to be in fellowship with believers in the body of Christ, those who will hold us accountable, those who will speak the truth in love when they see things in our lives that are just not right. So many Christians live independent and thus disobedient lives apart from real genuine fellowship and attendance in a local church, thus really removed from other believers and ultimately floundering on their own. We are to be together, we're to serve one another, we're to love one another. We are to allow God to confront things in our lives through others who love us. So let me ask you this, how are you doing in this area? Are you in the Word of God?
Are you in a biblical church where believers are holding you accountable because they love you and love the Lord? If not, repent of your disobedience and take the first steps of obedience today. Find a biblical church and you will find the Lord will use His Word and His people to help you in your walk with Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.